The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Nicholas Wade, science writer of many decades. And I have to ask you, Mr. Wade, I've read your byline in the Times myself for decades. And I think that there was a time when most Americans of any political stripe, they looked at science one way, they looked at journalism one way, they knew that there are always going to be ideologues and people with biases, but nonetheless, the basics were there. That seems, to my mind, to have changed dramatically, both in the world of journalism and in the world of science. Things that we took for granted, that there's a basis of objectivity, that's gone away to some extent, and you have people in this day and age, it's on the left, who seem to be troubled by facts as though facts themselves can have almost a kind of taint. That if you write a book, as Charles Murray did or as you did, about race, just the idea of a genetic reality makes some people uncomfortable. But more recently, it's been more dramatic with the issue of sexual identity. I mean, I'd always been taught as a kid that, you know, if you take a tube of blood from any human being, you could tell pretty quickly if it's a male or a female. Suddenly that is controversial. I find that strange. I don't know why we can't get those basics right and then have whatever conversations we want.
It's quite bizarre. I don't know how you've arrived at this point. It requires a sociologist plus a psychiatrist to give us the answers. I think it's something to do with the political spectrum shifting to the extreme left. And the extreme left has managed to drag a lot of people along with it, with ideas that are sort of blatantly absurd, such as denying there's sexual differences, denying there's a biological basis to race. And these ideas have very ugly expressions in the form of canceling or trying to shut up people they don't agree with, in banishing people from campus. There's definitely a reign of fear on campus, because if you speak out of turn, you can be retaliated against by your fellow academics. So just a small number of vigilantes, I think it's a fairly small number, is sort of driving the discussion that is destroying universities and impeding their ability to act as institutions that are guardians of truth.
Which is a big problem. How do you suppose the left, and this is a little bit off topic, but how is it that the left, which was really the greatest champion of free speech in decades past, has allowed itself to slide into canceling free speech or thinking of free speech as just something that is not, far from being sacrosanct, is almost a dirty word in a way?
Well, I'm just a sort of simple science writer, so I'm going way beyond my true knowledge to comment on your question, which is a very good one. I don't know how why it is the left has become so extreme. Could it be that one reason is that the right has kind of ate the left's lunch, and that everyone now believes in the welfare state, not in unbridled capitalism? So the workers are looked after quite reasonably well by parties from the right. So that has driven the left further and further to the extreme. And they've been extremely successful in warping the rest of the culture and twisting its institutions toward their view of how the world should be. But what do I know? I'm just a science writer.
I was going to say, for a for a humble Aushak science writer, you did a very good job answering that question. Maybe you want to revise your description of yourself. I guess you worked for the Times for a long time. Did you see that kind of institutional bias while you were there? Was it what did it ever become an issue for you while you were there as a writer?
Well, I worked for the New York Times for many years, as you say, very happily. I was mostly in the science department, which all the time I was there was shielded from whatever political battles were going on elsewhere. So the answer to the question is no, it wasn't an issue for me.
It's interesting. Do you find that it is today? In other words, when you write an article such as the one that we've been talking about, did you feel that some people might publish it and others would not publish it?
Well, I think I prefer not to talk about its publishing history. As you can imagine, I offered it to various places, both on the left and the right. But in the end, I decided I knew so much about the subject, I would just sort of write it out. And I did so at a length which no newspaper could reasonably be expected to take.
Incredibly diplomatic of you. Just to put it that way. Now, I believe I originally read it either on your blog or on your website. Am I mistaken?
Well, I don't have a blog. I just use this website, medium.com, which is basically it's a self-publishing website. You just sign up and you can write whatever you want there.
Okay. Well, it is a very long article. It's very deep into the science. I pride myself on being able to even follow it at treetop level. But it was interesting to me that you just lay out the facts in a very clear way, in a very unbiased way, and you're being very generous to the opposition. But what amazes me is that it appeared now, and as you said, it could have been written a year ago. Why do you suppose others didn't write about this? I mean, it's about as important as things get these days. This is not something obscure. It's front and center in a way that almost nothing has ever been front and center in my lifetime. And yet science writers, whether at the Times or other places, they seemed to shrink from taking it on. Where do you suppose that pressure would come from?
Well, you're right. I think it's the science writers you would look to first to have picked up this story and run with it, and they didn't. And I say in my article that they are much at fault for having missed it. They were asleep at the switch. So I think you can tell I'm not going to win the National Association of Science Writers Award this year, but it is really puzzling that with a few exceptions, they didn't look into this story. And I guess it's just the mindset. They were in the same mindset as everyone else was, that Lab Escape was a ridiculous hypothesis, and I guess they didn't look at it seriously.
Well, I mean, just think, you're being so generous and kind, but it's scandalous and really despicable. We're looking to journalists and scientists to do a job. It couldn't get more basic than what we're talking about. This is as basic as it gets. It's a life-threatening, culture-changing disease season in all of our lifetimes. And the idea that it could have been politicized, I just think it's a big black mark, if not three big black marks, in the pages of journalism and science writing. And I'm just kind of amazed that we are talking about it on this program, that this isn't front and center. I mean, so many things come into it. I can understand that when you're dealing with China, when you're dealing with the politicization of things in this country, I mean, Trump said something about, I can't remember, this is way back, but he said something about some kind of light, ultraviolet light. And as soon as he said it, he was demonized. The idea was demonized, mocked. And yet yesterday I read something, I don't know where, that ultraviolet light might be very effective against this virus. And I thought, have we gone mad that anything that someone we don't like says immediately is mocked or derided as a conspiracy theory? Anyway, I'm just ranting now, which is the way I like to end all of my interviews with my most distinguished guests. Nicholas Wade, I just have to say I'm very grateful to you for having written the article. I hope people will find it. Your name is easy to spell, Nicholas Wade, W-A-D-E. Thank you so much for that article and for what looks like courage, unfortunately, in this day and age, and for your time. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Eric, for a very generous interview.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Folks, I'm talking to the next mayor of New York, Curtis Sliwa. Curtis, you take the cake. I never know where to begin with you. You're sitting on a city bike. People are watching this on video. We're not making this up. You are sitting on a city bike. And what neighbor? You're near Prospect Park. Where is that? Brooklyn.
We're near Prospect Park in central Brooklyn. Very bucolic. But I just came from Kings County Hospital, where a police officer was just released. Thank God, who had been shot 3 times last night in Brooklyn while stopping 2 gangs from having a firefight. So I go from the belly of the beast to pure paradise.
Prospect Park is beautiful, and you're there. You're literally on a city bike. Why are you on a city bike? What is going on?
Well, it's not because I want to pedal anywhere. It's because in order to be able to do this Zoom interview with you, I have to be elevated, and I actually have my iPhone on a banana box. So I've improvised. And one of the homeless gentlemen here actually helped me out with this. I had to borrow his banana box. I gave him $5, but he's very happy. He's very happy, Eric.
What more do we need as proof that you're a man of the people? Curtis, I want to cut to the chase here because I'm not kidding. I hope and pray that you will be the next mayor of this city. We don't deserve a great mayor as you would be, but I hope we get one. Let me ask you, what are the polls saying right now? Because it's been such a crazy city. I mean, to elect somebody like Bill de Blasio, Comrade de Blasio, it's hard to believe that New Yorkers could elect somebody that not just tragically left, but incompetent, out of touch. I mean, why do you think you will be able to be elected in a city that's gone crazy?
Because Bill de Blasio, as I call him, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, is so disconnected that he has no supporters. So people on the far right gave up on him even before he was elected for mayor. moderates, they gave him a little bit of a chance and bailed out on him in his first term. But even his friends, the radicals, you know, his fellow Sandinistas, those that joined him.
But you're saying even the leftists have abandoned him, which is true. I mean, I don't think he has. There's nobody in the city in this day who would say they're a fan of Bill de Blasio. But at the same time, is he running again? He's not running again in the fall. And I don't know if we've got your audio. We don't have your video. Go ahead.
I'm running for mayor here. All right. You see, I'm campaigning while I'm dealing with you, Eric.
Incredible. We still can't see you, but it's a radio program, but some people watch it on video, so we'd love to see your happy face.
Well, we're going to try to correct that momentarily, but go ahead. Let's continue our conversation.
Yeah, so I guess my question is, I don't know who you're going to be running up against in the fall, but de Blasio, he's timed out, right? He cannot run.
That is correct. Thank God there's term limits. He's going to go back to Cambridge, Massachusetts, where he'll be an adjunct professor, hopefully at Harvard University, although I have a feeling he'll corrupt an entire new generation who will be studying political science, and he'll be trying to teach them the Bill de Blasio, David Dinkins way.
Now I can see you. I was going to say David Dinkins is Ronald Reagan compared to Bill de Blasio. We thought Dinkins was as bad as it gets. Abe Beame was as bad as it gets. No comparison. As bad as Abe Beame and Dinkins were, Bill de Blasio, he towers over them all in every sense. I want to talk about this. You delivered on the 60th birthday of Comrade Bill de Blasio. You delivered a special birthday cake to Gracie Mansion. I put this up on Twitter. This is why we love you. It was a cake with a big meatball. And what did you say on the cake?
Well, it's the first meatball cake ever created, a 10-pound meatball that I had fashioned and put on the cake because, hey, it's the man's 60th birthday. I figured I'd go over and visit a Gracie Mansion. Now, Eric, the last time I was at Gracie Mansion 2 years ago, I had to serve him with civil court papers from a judge. Judge demanded that I give it to him personally, and the mayor, in a return favor, had me arrested for doing such. So I got to wear the silver bracelets and end up spending a few hours in jail. But, you know, nowadays, nobody ends up going to jail. So I was remanded to the streets and given a disappearance ticket. But on this past Saturday, I was there with a group of Italian-Americans from Bay Ridge who were outraged that the mayor, through his Department of Education, the acronym stands for Dumbest Organization Ever, had decided to eliminate Christopher Columbus Day and any teachings about Christopher Columbus and replace it only with a curriculum that focused on indigenous peoples. So I said, hey, this guy's a real meatball. So let's honor him on his birthday by giving him the world's biggest meatball ever assembled, 10 pounds, and on it, it said in Italian, because he claims he's well-versed in Italian, udisgraziata, which means a disgrace.
So you're calling Bill de Blasio the world's biggest meatball, and here's the world's biggest meatball. Listen, I love it. And you know, Curtis, the thing is, in some ways, you remind me of my friend Mike Lindell, that you're such a man of the people that a lot of people don't realize how on the ball you are. You really have studied this city like no one has studied the city. You've gotten the ground up education over the decades in everything about New York, and you understand what we need right now. And I got to tell you, I see on the Upper East Side where I live, which has been like, you know, an oasis for a few decades after Giuliani, all of the trouble coming back, the street people, the just everything. It is astonishing how quickly de Blasio has brought us back to the 70s when you started your career. What makes you think, I want to go back to the first question, why do you think you could get elected? In other words, who is in the mix right now? What are the numbers? What do you think?
Well, first off, I have to get to a Republican primary. There are only two of us, and I'm 40 points ahead in the most recent poll that was published in the Wall Street Journal.
40 now, points Democrat, ahead.
Yeah, 40 points ahead. Well, the other guy, nobody seems to know, and he certainly hasn't been around the five boroughs of the city of New York. There aren't that many Republicans to begin with. It's a 8-to-1 ratio in terms of registration. And that's where the Democrats kick in. There are 13 of them seeking their party's nomination, and I would say 8 serious candidates. And right now, the polls seem to indicate that Andrew Yang, who's a visitor to New York City, might potentially be the Democratic nominee, and I would love running against it. You can imagine, Eric, Curtis Sliwa is New York. Andrew Yang is trying to learn how to become a New Yorker, and so that would be a classic match. I would really love that match. But then again, because they have ranked choice voting, which is a real screwy way to choose your mayoral candidates, but they've opted for this process, and it'll give them an opportunity to pick candidate 1, candidate 2, candidate 3, and then it's a process of elimination if nobody gets 50%. They're way ahead in terms of raising the moolah shmoolah, the money necessary to run a campaign and to defend your honor. So I was the last to announce, but everybody knows I'm associated with law and order, public safety, bringing the quality of life back. I'm the only candidate to say refund the police and hire more police. And I've actually, Eric, come up with a way to do that, because I looked across the plains of New York City and said, who isn't paying property tax? Oh, Madison Square Garden, they're not paying property tax. Columbia University sits on $11 billion endowment. NYU, $5 billion endowment. They pay no property tax, but they buy a lot of the properties up for sale and take them off the commercial and the residential property tax rolls. Then there's Rockefeller Medical. Then there's Cornell Medical. When you start adding up the numbers, if they paid their proper property tax, we could not only refund the $1 billion that de Blasio and the Democratic Socialists of America, led by AOC, all out crazy, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, took from the budget, but we could hire an additional 3,000 police, giving us 38,000 police, which is exactly the number that Rudy Giuliani had when he took back the city after David Dinkins, the mentor to Bill de Blasio, subjected us to a crime wave in which there were 2,200 murders a year. But Giuliani needed the cops. He got the cops. He was able to do the job. In order to do the job, I would need the cops. And that's how we could not only restore their confidence, restore their morale, but restore their numbers and make them proactive again, not reactive.
Can you stay on for another segment, or are you going to have to go? I got about 6 minutes in the next segment.
We're with you, Eric. We're with you because this is your most unique broadcast ever from the streets of Kings County, where we saw a hero cop released from the ER to Prospect Park to some car that I've just hijacked here to continue the Zoom portion of our interview.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, we're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Curtis Sliwa. This is not a joke. This man knows this city. I know the city, and I know the city enough to know that Curtis Sliwa needs to be the next mayor. We got to figure out how to support him. We're going to be right back talking to Curtis Sliwa. Don't go away. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Folks, I'm talking to Curtis Sliwa. I hope he will be the next mayor of the city. This is very important, folks. You know, New York City is not just some city. It is a bellwether city. It's an important city. Curtis Sliwa, I believe, is the man to lead this city out of the hell into which Bill de Blasio has brought it. Curtis, I want to ask you, you talk about taxing the property tax for Columbia University, NYU, Rockefeller, all of these, Madison Square Garden. Do you think that that is realistic? I mean, how is it possible that they don't pay taxes? Why? Is that like a sweetheart deal the city gave them?
Well, it was grandfathered in a long time ago. It really has nothing to do with those who run the endowments for the universities now, or Jimmy Dolan, who runs Madison Square Garden. But you better believe they're going to be kicking and screaming and hollering in order to have to pay their fair share of property tax. But I'll extricate it from them. And for many of your listeners and those who are watching, you know, you could go to CurtisSlewaForMayor.com, and I get pretty extensive in explaining how I can do all of this. That's CurtisSlewaForMayor.com. And certainly you can help me in my effort, because I got to raise some money to fight off the Democrats, because I'm going to be in the general election. And Eric, you know, they're going to try to dishonor me. You know, they're going to try. They'll accuse me of being a sexist, a misogynist, a homophobe, a racist, all the things they do against a Republican. But you know how I built up a firewall already? I'm collecting signatures on petitions from all New York City residents to run as an independent. And then a lot of your listeners and those watching are going to love this first animal welfare line we have in effect, in which the only issue is no-kill shelters. We are never, when I'm mayor, ever again going to kill a dog, a cat, or another animal who is wanted by many women out there who believe that animals are like our friends. They're like our family members. Eric, how many times have you heard people say, I like my dog or cat more than I like my kids, my grandchildren, my husband, my wife, my aunts, my uncles? I mean, animals are our friends. And in the city of New York, I don't know if people are aware, if they end up in a shelter, they're euthanized within 72 hours if nobody attempts to adopt them. And meantime, Los Angeles has no-kill shelters, Austin, other cities. That's going to be my first executive order. We're never going to kill an animal again, a cat or a dog. And I got to do this because my wife, she has 15 rescue cats that we raise in a 325 square foot apartment in the Upper West Side with one turlet. And you can imagine how many times a day that we have to change the litter.
I don't believe that is love. I cannot believe any man could love his wife that much. What you just said to me, that's crazy. Curtis, this is a big thing because there are a lot of New Yorkers who would really get behind that. And so I hope you get the signatures for this, because this is the kind of an issue. And this is one of the reasons I think that you can be elected mayor. You're a centrist in the best sense. I mean, you're a problem solver. You see the problems. You want to help everybody. You're not just working for the wealthy or whatever it is. And that's what we need. That's what's always worked in New York. Giuliani was that kind of a mayor. LaGuardia was that kind of a mayor. Koch, to some extent, was that kind of a mayor, even though I was not a big fan of him in some ways. He was a common sense Democrat when you compare him to somebody like an Andrew Yang or a de Blasio. So these are big issues. But you really do think you're going to be able to get Madison Square Garden, Columbia University, NYU to pay property taxes. How can you do that realistically? What happens? How does that work?
Well, Eric, what are they going to do? Are they going to threaten to leave New York City? Come on, Columbia's not going to leave. NYU's not going to leave. Madison Square Garden's not going to leave.
Can I tell you, though, wouldn't it be great if they did? I mean, think what we could do. So this is a win-win, Curtis. You're like a crazy genius. This is a win-win.
I hadn't even thought of that. That's right. We could end up driving Columbia University and NYU out, that is so responsible for this cancel culture that is strangulating us. And that's the other thing, Eric. I'll have control of the Department of Education, which the acronym is dumbest organization ever, which stifles free speech. I am a believer that if there is hate speech and you're upset with it, the way to remedy it is to have more free speech. You're not happy with statues like Christopher Columbus? Don't tear it down. Don't vandalize it. Let's just build more statues. Teach people more history. Open up their minds to all the different men and women who may have been contributors throughout our history. Do not cancel our history, our civics, and most importantly, free thought. I want to be able to have young people who can then eventually intellectually have a debate on the issues. without feeling that they're gonna, I'm gonna dry up and blow away. Stop.
You know, the thing is, you lived through this like nobody has. But a lot of people don't know your story. You've been on the program before, you've told it, but I mean, you founded the Guardian Angels. What year did you found that, and where is that organization today?
1979, I was a night manager at McDonald's in the Bronx, and the Bronx was burning. There was chaos, there was destruction, looting, anarchy prevailed. And a million people left New York City just in the 1970s. And then the menace of crack cocaine delivered a devastating blow in the 80s. And thank God, it was Rudy Giuliani who came to the rescue in the early 1990s and gave our city a badly needed colonic. But all along the way, I was able to organize young men and women, Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, as volunteers to begin patrolling the subways and the streets unarmed, but in having no special powers or privileges. When you're out there and you don't have law enforcement, we became the cops in a lot of these neighborhoods. We became the cops on the subways. And many people credit us, as did Rudy Giuliani, for the reversal, the turnaround, the resurrection of the city of New York.
I want to hit pause because we're going to come back, and I want you to tell us where the organization is today. In case anybody wants to know if Curtis Sliwa knows how to do things on a big level, folks, don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Curtis Sliwa. You got to spell it so you can go to the website. Curtis, you know, Sliwa, S-L-I-W-A, Curtis Sliwa for mayor.com. Please send this to anyone you know who lives in New York City for sure. Curtis, I know you need funds. I know you need support. I will do anything. I was talking to some people about doing a fundraiser for you up in Cooperstown, some people who know a lot of wealthy folks. We've got to make this happen. This is the greatest city in America. I had the privilege of being born here. And I was here in the early 70s, and I followed you when you founded the Guardian Angels, tremendous organization. Where is the Guardian Angels today? How has this grown? And, you know, where is it?
Well, Eric, it's been 42 years, and after Rudy Giuliani embraced the Guardian Angels in 1993 in his first year in office, it made it so much easier when we were asked to expand to other cities around America and around the world. So at present date, we're in 13 countries, 130 cities, and we have close to 5,000 international members. All of them are locals, and all of them have been trained in the same procedures. They wear the same uniforms. And they're in the front lines, whether it's the democracy or a dictatorship, first world, third world, of trying to maintain a quality of life and public safety. And in many of these instances, the Guardian Angels are the ones that people depend on because they can't depend on their police. As you know, Eric, in some of those countries, the police are as corrupt as the criminals themselves.
Well, it is amazing. I can't believe the numbers you're just putting out there. So this organization has grown magnificently over time. And I just want to be clear. Well, explain to people, what is the Guardian Angels? These are volunteers. These are citizens helping the community just because it's a good thing to do.
Well, to give you an idea, let's take you back to the summer in which anarchy prevailed in the streets of New York City for 2 days. The mayor decided to tell the police to stand down. You saw the looting. You saw the rioting. You saw the shooting. In fact, Macy's Herald, largest department store in America, you saw them going through there like locusts through the cornfield, the looters. And the only ones in the streets battling them, physically battling them, fighting them off were the Guardian Angels. You may have remembered, Eric, I suffered a broken jaw. We had other Guardian Angels who were seriously injured. But we didn't surrender. We didn't retreat. The police afterwards rolled by, apologized, said, guys, gals, we wish we could have gotten involved. We were told, though, to stand down. So when all other remedies fail, people turn to the Guardian Angels because we dare to care, we'll risk our lives, give an example, six guardian angels have been shot and killed in the line of duty, three dozen seriously injured. I myself was shot five times with hollow point bullets in the summer of June 19th of 1992 on the orders of John Gotti Sr. to John Gotti Jr. to the Gambino crime family. So we will take extraordinary risk, but it's well worth it, because if you don't have a community that's free, if you're imprisoned in your house, if the seniors, the women, the children, the elderly, the infirm are not free to live a normal life, how can this be America, the land of the free and the home of the brave? So you know what, Eric? I have found a lot of people out there like me who are brave enough to go out there, take the risk, and return a quality of life to a little sliver of America the way it should be for all.
It's such a beautiful thing, Curtis. I remember, you know, being in the 70s, I guess I was in high school when you guys started, and I was thinking, wow, who is doing this? This is amazing. You know, just watching it on the news and hearing about you guys, it was an astonishing thing. Folks, I want you to go to CurtisSliwaForMayor.com. CurtisSliwaForMayor.com. Check it out. This is not a joke. This is an amazing man. And I hope he can be the next mayor of New York. If you lived here, you'd know what I'm talking about. Hey, Alvin.
Yeah, why?
We lost Curtis.
No, what?
Yes, we lost the feed.
I think he was mayor of
New York City. We lost his feed, so I have to break in here. Let me say this. Curtis Sliwa is a hero. The more you get to know him, he's an astonishing figure. And we see more and more of them. Mike Lindell is like this. Trump is like this. They come across as goofy, normal people, but they are brilliant. Curtis Sliwa knows more about how New York works and what to do and what not to do. He's a genius on that level, and he's been in this world for over 40 years. So I want to say, I hope people will give to his campaign. New York is a bellwether. If New York were to shift, and it would shift dramatically under Curtis Sliwa. Nobody else comes close to Curtis. I just want to say that. There are other candidates that anybody would be better than de Blasio. De Blasio is the nightmare you never thought could happen. He is not only a maniacal ideologue and a socialist and a nut, but he is also incompetent. Right. So the issue is that anybody would be better, but Curtis Sliwa, I really mean this. I believe that he would be in the pantheon of the truly great mayors, a man who gives his life to the job. It's the opposite of the Peter principle, where people just keep rising and rising to their level of incompetence. Right. This is a guy, I think he was born to be the mayor of New York City. This is exactly what the calling is on his life. He's just an extraordinary figure. So folks, Curtis Sliwa for mayor, if you can vote, tell your friends. He's somebody that I've had the privilege of getting to know, top-notch individual. We'll be right back. Final segment, the Eric Metaxas Show.
Hey there, Mr. Blue Sky, so pleased to be with you, Sky. Look around, see what you do.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. I'd like to introduce you to Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993 and now available to you. What I like most about Nutramedics is our shared values. Every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to global charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Their goal is to surpass 100 million in giving by 2030. Now, I want to support a company like that, and I think you should too. So if you take supplements, switch to Nutramedics. It's the product that I use every day. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. So are you feeling tired? How about an all-natural way to increase your energy? Nutramedics' energy support kit of magnesium and adrenal help to support energy levels in a healthy way without the peaks, crashes, or consequences of caffeine for just $39.95. Get 20% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC during checkout. Folks, welcome back. I have to ask everyone, I know I sound like a broken record, but you know what? I don't care. I don't care. Oh. It's very important. Folks, go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. I will say it again. We are sending you every video. Every interview we do, we make a video, and it is sometimes posted on YouTube, but YouTube is becoming increasingly totalitarian and communistic. Not that there's anything wrong with being, you know, enforcing your atheistic secularist worldview. Hey, who are we to judge?
Right.
In the words of the atheist Pope Francis, who are we to judge? But let me just say that, honestly, we post everything. If it's not on YouTube, it's on Rumble, but we want to send it to you. And we can't do that unless you sign up for the newsletter. Now, trust me, folks, this is not a big deal. We're not sending you like a lot of ads and stuff. But I also post things on social media, but we post everything on these newsletters and we try to get them out to you, try to share it. Also, I do it in part so that you can share it with friends, because a lot of what we hope you all are doing, people say, what can I do? What can I do? Well, what you can do, one thing you can do is share the information we present on this program. So if you get an email, you can simply forward the email to people you think that would appreciate it, or tell them to sign up for the newsletter and they can get it themselves. But these videos, some of them are really important. We just did one actually with, my gosh, we had a whole bunch. We had an amazing interview with Oz Guinness. We had an amazing interview with him about his new book. It is fundamental. It's so good. We're going to have to rerun it a few times because it was just an amazing conversation about the biblical roots of American liberty, the biblical, the undeniably biblical roots of the kind of government that we have had here since the beginning, since before the beginning, frankly, but that's another story. Since before 1776. We also did an interview. I want people to get to know Tim Eaton. He is the founder, CEO of Nutramedics. Okay. I want you to know who this guy is, because as I say over and over again, we have tremendous economic power in America and we've not leveraged it. And what I mean by that is that Americans who share our values spend hundreds of billions of dollars every year. So the question is, how do we spend it? Where do we spend it? Are you giving that money to companies like Coca-Cola or Nike or now Adidas or Skechers that do not share your values, that are willing to look the other way when we're dealing with horrific human rights abuses? I mean, would you give your money to a company that is building the ovens, to kill the Jews, or the gas chambers to kill the Jews and the ovens to cremate the Jews? Would you give your money to a company that says, we don't care, somebody's got to make the oven, so why shouldn't we? I don't think you would. Would you give your money to somebody who believes in slavery or who is enslaving people or murdering people indiscriminately? I don't think so. You wouldn't want to give your money, to the Castro regime in Cuba, would you? Well, if you don't, then you shouldn't be giving your money to Nike. You shouldn't be giving your money to any of the companies that we've mentioned on this program, but you should be trying to give your money to companies that radically represent the values we believe in, the value of life, the value of human dignity. This is not some right-wing litany. This is basic stuff. What's going on in China today, everybody in this country should stand against it. Everybody in every country should stand against it. So the way I say that we can do that is try to bless those companies that are sharing our values. So Nutramedics, if you listen to the interview, which we've just posted, you'll get all the details. And we're going to have Tim Eaton on back again. But I'm sure you use half of those products or a number of those products. You might as well get them from Nutramedics. Use the code ERIC. You get 20% off. Same thing with Mike Lindell. The man has been a hero, a champion for many things. So we're asking you to go to MyPillow.com, MyStore.com. Use the code ERIC. Support those two companies, please, and do not support the companies that are working against what we think is right and good and true. Thanks.